Well, what's up, Pine Lake? Welcome. And man, we're so excited you decided to join us and worship with us online today. I'm grateful to be with you. My name's Austin. I help serve as the campus pastor at our Starkville campus. And so excited. We are in week two of this series entitled Unlikely Hero. And really, it's just a journey together through the book of Judges, specifically looking at the life of a guy named Gideon. So if you have a Bible, we're going to dive in pretty quickly. You can go ahead and open it up. We're going to be in Judges chapter 6 today. Judges chapter 6 in the Old Testament. We're going to pick up in the story where Chip left us off last week. So if you didn't get to watch last week, I'm going to catch you up to speed while you're turning there. Chip delivered a powerful word on the reality that the Israelites, these were God's people, because they had been living in a sin cycle because of disobedience, they found themselves in a season and in a place in which they absolutely, man, they needed a hero. And the Israelites had been in the hands of the Midianites for 7 years. It had been 7 years of oppression, 7 years of fear, 7 years of hiding. And they needed a hero. They needed a leader. They needed a game changer. And so today we're going to pick up in the story and Judges chapter 6, starting in verse 11. And here's what we're going to see. God calls an unlikely hero, this guy named Gideon. And hopefully today you're going to be able to relate to Gideon. I think Gideon is a very relatable character. And here's what we're going to learn together, that God is in the business of using unlikely people like you and me. We just need to be willing to say yes. And so our big idea for today is God uses unlikely people. So if you have your Bible out, we're going to pick up in the story where we left off last week, starting in verse 11, as an angel appears onto the scene and we receive the call of Gideon. So in verse 11, it says, "Now the angel of the Lord, he came and he sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and he said to him, 'Hey, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor.' And then Gideon said to him, 'Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and he's given us into the hand of Midian.' But then the Lord, he turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do I not send you?' And then he said to him, 'Look, please, all right, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest. I'm the least in my father's house.' And then the Lord said to him, 'But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man.' And he said to him, 'If now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me.'" So Gideon's like, all right, well, show me a sign that this is you. Show me a sign that I'm really talking with the Lord. It says, "Please do not depart from here until I come to you, and I'm going to bring out a present, and I'm going to set it before you." And so he said, the Lord says, "Look, I'm going to stay till you return." Verse 19, so Gideon went into his house. He prepared a young goat and 11 cakes from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket and the broth he put in a pot. And he brought them to him under the terebinth and he presented them. And the angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the 11 cakes, put them on this rock and pour the broth over them." And he did so. And then the angel of the Lord, he reached out the tip of his staff that was in his hand. He touched the meat and the 11 cakes and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the 11 cakes. And the angel of the Lord, he vanished from his sight. So then it says that Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, "At last, O Lord God, now I have seen the angel." The angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, the Lord talks this over him. He says, "Peace be to you. Don't fear. You shall not die." And then we're going to land here, verse 24. It says, Gideon then builds an altar there to the Lord, and he called it the Lord of Peace. To this day, it still stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the Abizrites. And so we see God step into the scene and call Gideon into battle, into a huge assignment. Have you ever been in a situation or an experience in life when the most unlikely person became the hero? An everyday situation, an everyday circumstance, an everyday experience when like the most unlikely person stepped up and saved the day. You ever been there? I remember when my wife and I were dating, we had only been dating for 6 or 7 months. We took a day date to Six Flags and we were excited. It was the first full day we were going to spend together in our dating relationship. About 3 to 4 hours in, we were having a blast. It was a hot summer day, making memories, eating funnel cakes, you know, in the early stages of love. And we get in line for the Superman ride. And it's my favorite ride. Megan had never been on the Superman ride. I'm an adrenaline junkie. And so we're sitting in this line. It's about an hour and a half wait. And we just kind of start trucking along. About 30 minutes into the wait, she looks at me and she says, "Austin, I don't feel well." Now, again, we're early in the stages of our dating relationship, so I had to, like, you know, put on the good boyfriend hat and say, hey, what's going on? You know, can I get you some water? And we start having this dialogue. She's like, Austin, I just don't feel well. I was like, well, hey, let's keep trucking along, right? We got the Superman ride coming. So we go about another 30 minutes, and we get to where we're at the edge of the stairs, getting ready to go up the stairs where we would choose which coaster we wanted to get in line for. So we're almost at the end of the line. We're almost at the finish line, almost about to go on the coaster, and she looks at me again. She says, Austin, I just don't feel well. And I'm like, oh no, here we go again. And this time I really look at her and she doesn't look well. I mean, really pale, looks dehydrated, looks like she probably needs some food and some water. And so I'm like, okay, well, let's get up the stairs. Let's get where the fans are blowing on us and let's see if that's gonna help. So I help her get up the stairs, and within 10 seconds of us getting into the area where the fans were blowing, within 10 seconds, she pretty much passes out and she falls flat on the ground. And so I do what any boyfriend does in distress. I just start screaming, somebody help! Help me. Anybody got water? Does anybody have anything to help me? And I mean, within 10 seconds, this disheveled facilities guy, who I would have never expected, he stepped in and he just starts guiding me through how to lead her through this. And he's like, okay, pick up her head here. And Megan kind of starts coming to, and he's like, now give her some water. Now start fanning her. And he's just kind of coaching me through this. And then he helps me get her down. We didn't get to go on the Superman ride, bummer, but he starts helping me. And we get down there and he tells me he's a medical student. He's in medical school. And he was like our guardian angel. Like, he saved the day for us. And if you had told me that when we walked up those stairs that there was going to be a medical student who was going to help my girlfriend who was getting ready to pass out, he would have been the last person I would have picked. You know what I mean? Like, he just didn't have the look of the person that was going to help save the day. And I know you've been in a situation in a similar season in life where you found out the most unlikely person came through and saved the day. Come on, we got any movie fans? How about Peter Parker was the last person you would have thought to be Spider-Man? But he saves the day and he gets the girl. Come on, any Lion King fans? Timon and Pumbaa, they seemed incompetent. All they wanted to do was sing Hakuna Matata and eat bugs. But then at the end of the movie, we see that it's these two, an unlikely pair, storming Pride Rock, fighting off Scar's nasty squad of hyenas and saving the day. How about this past summer, the Mississippi State Bulldogs baseball team was one game and one big hit away from making it to the national championship series against the Vanderbilt Commodores, who were sitting there waiting for them. It was the ninth inning, and Coach Lamonis called in an unlikely hero, Tanner Leggett, to step up and save the day. Tanner Leggett hadn't had a live at bat in over a month, but he was prepared, he was ready, and in the ninth inning, he stepped up and delivered a game-winning hit. He was our unlikely hero. Come on, y'all, feel this. This is somebody you would least expect. The classic underdog. And so I'm speaking to some people probably online joining us today. If this is you, and you felt like at times the classic underdog, you felt not enough, you felt not qualified, you felt like I'm not equipped for maybe what God was calling you to step into, or a yes that God is calling you to be obedient towards, can I tell you today, you are in good company, because this is our boy Gideon. He is full of excuses. He's a fearful farmer who's full of doubts. But God calls him to lead the Israelites against a powerful, powerful enemy. And it's a calling for Gideon that just seems too big. He's like, man, I'm not the guy. A calling that seems too big. But even with his initial reluctancy, God doesn't stop pushing for his yes. So for you and me today, when the calling seems too big and the assignment that he's asking us to step into just seems too much, please give God your yes, because giving God your yes isn't always easy, but it is always right. And we're going to see that throughout the day, that we're not called to make sense or figure out the details of what he's asking us to do. We are called to obedience and trusting that his plan is good and his plan is right and it is for his glory. Think about what the Proverbs write in Proverbs 3 verses 5 through 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Hear me today. Saying yes isn't always easy, but it's always right. Can you just say yes? Whether it's a new leadership opportunity that maybe God is calling you to step into. Maybe it's a next step faith decision that he's been putting on your heart time and time again. Baptism, salvation. It could be a career change or a life change that you know he's been wrestling in your spirit. But those around you and those you do life with, just it doesn't make sense to them. Or maybe for some of us today, he's just been asking us to let go of some things. Maybe a relationship, a friendship, an unhealthy lifestyle choice that we're living in, but we're afraid we can't let it or this thing go because we don't think we have what it takes. Can you have? But you just have this sense of assurance today that it's God who's calling you, and He's not gonna let it go. Hear me today. God isn't looking for people who are ready; He's looking for people who are willing. And so this is Gideon. Okay, God knew Gideon wasn't necessarily ready. Okay, we see this from the conversation, but God was trying to get him to a place where he was willing and resting in his power. So today, what do we learn from Gideon? We're going to go back over this conversation, this dialogue that Gideon has as he is first called into saying yes to his big assignment. What do we learn from Gideon? And what we learn is, what do you learn today from when God is calling you to say yes in your new assignment, in your new season? I have four takeaways for us that I think we learn from this text. The first one is, don't run from fear. Okay, here's what's funny about Gideon. I think he's a very relatable character, because as God is calling him to step out in faith in the middle of this calling, here's what we find. We find glimpses of faith, but then we often find a guy who's often just full of fear. And we go back to our text in verse 11. Here's what we learn. Gideon is out working when an angel of the Lord appears on the scene. Verse 11, it says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." And this is a big deal, and I want to keep this verse here for just a second. This is a big deal. The Lord is getting ready to enter onto the scene in verse 12 and speak life and hope and encouragement over Gideon. But we find that Gideon is out working in a position of fear. And he's in a cowardly position. He's already living in fear. Some of you are like, well, what do you mean? Well, if you go back and it says in verse 11 that Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press. Now, that's a big deal, because we're told that he's threshing wheat. He's preparing the grain in a wine press. You would never, ever thresh wheat in a wine press. Oftentimes where you would go thresh wheat was out in an open space in what was known as a threshing floor. And that was where you would prepare the grain. I have a picture of what it looks like. This is often where you would thresh wheat. It was in a open space so that the breeze could come and blow away any of the remaining grain that didn't need to be on the wheat. And so he's out working, but we're told that he's not in an open space, that he's in a wine press. And I have a picture of a wine press. I want to give you a picture of where Gideon is working. So he's in a cowardly place where he's in a position of kind of, you know, he's working, but he's looking. He's like, he's living in fear. The only reason is because he's terrified of the Midianites. And he's afraid. And he had plenty of reason to be afraid of the Midianites. Everybody was terrified of them. For 7 years, they've ravaged the Israelites' lands. They've burned their homes. They've killed their entire families. And a lot of times, they just hurt people. And so he's fearful and he's in hiding. Can I just be honest? We'd probably be doing the same thing. I'd probably be doing the same thing. That's real for a lot of us. So my question for you today is, how do you face fear? How do you fight it? Fear is real. Fear, I think oftentimes it's a normal reaction in this journey of following Jesus. And it's often an immediate emotion that starts to well up when God is asking you to say yes to something, no matter how big, no matter how small, no matter the assignment. A couple weeks ago, we were having a conversation with a girl, part of our church family, who was wanting to get baptized at Identify. And she had just shared with us that she didn't want to take the next step. She knew it was her next step, but felt like she was worried, and there was fear of what her parents were going to think about this decision, what the people she was doing life with was going to think about this decision, because she thought it was going to give off this image that she hadn't been following Jesus, but she still knew she had never taken that next step. So there was fear, and it was keeping her from saying yes. This is probably why we find the words "do not be afraid" 365 times in Scripture. We all fight it. We all deal with it. You've all dealt with it. We've all dealt with it. So can we acknowledge it and choose not to run from it today? And here's why. Verse 12, look at what happens. Verse 12, he's with you. Verse 12, it says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to him, and he said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor.'" What a picture. The Lord appears onto the scene. An angel of the Lord appears onto the scene and speaks life and hope into Gideon as he's living in this cowardly, fearful position. Can I tell you, all of you watching online today, this is what he's speaking over you. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Whether you feel like he's with you or not, whether you feel like you're full of courage or you're full of fear, you can move forward with your yes today, because the Lord sees more in you than you see in yourself. Of God talking to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 41:10, look at what he writes. It says, "Fear not, for I'm with you. I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I think about David writing in the Psalms, Psalm 103, verse 4. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to fear no evil. Here's the reason why I'm not going to walk in fear and live in fear. Because he's with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. AKA, God's got me. And he's walking with me and he's guiding me. Can I ask you today, if you're fearful, if we know and if we believe and if we sing about the fact that our God is for us, what are we fearful of? What's keeping us from saying yes? If you ever think about that scene in the original Jurassic Park, not the new Jurassic Parks, there's that scene towards the end when all the people crowd into a Colosseum type of building and the raptors are following them and they surround them. So they're surrounded by a bunch of raptors and they're terrified. They think this is the end. And then the T-Rex comes onto the scene. And they're like, oh my gosh, now the raptors are here, now the T-Rex are here, and they're all kind of living in sheer terror. But then they realize very quickly that the T-Rex isn't there to get them, he's actually there to get the raptors, and their countenance, their emotion, and their confidence immediately changes. Because they're like, well, hold on now, if T-Rex is for us, who's gonna be against us? And I'm having a little bit of fun, but this is the picture the Lord is continually going to give Gideon, that if I'm for you and if I'm with you, what are you fearful of? Why are you not saying yes because of fear, because of the unknown? Come on, faith family, let's say yes and fight the temptation to hide or ignore the call because of fear. Have a willingness today to step out into what God is calling you to step into. But not only do we learn to not run from fear, I think the second thing we learn from Gideon is to give God your doubts and your concerns. Okay, I love Gideon because the Lord speaks life and hope over him. But then in verse 13, he pushes back, and we're going to see this time and time again in the dialogue with God and Gideon is this just pushback, this pushback. Verse 13, and Gideon said to him, all right, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our father recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us, and he's given us into the hand of Midian. Gideon's saying, okay, are you really with me, bruh? Are you really with me? Because if I'm just being honest, it's been really, really, really hard to find you lately. And man, I heard about the way you led my people to the promised land. That was kind of cool. And I heard about the way you led my people out of oppression in Egypt. That was great. And I know you used that guy named Moses, but hear me, dude, I'm not Moses. And it seems to me like we've been forgotten. It seems to me like we've been forgotten. You ever been there? You ever been in a season of your life when you just felt like, look, I don't know where he's at. I can't find him. I can't sense him, and I can't see him. Some of you might be there today. You're like, man, preacher, I know I'm supposed to believe that he's with me. Austin, I know I'm supposed to find hope in the cross, but man, my life sure doesn't seem to sense, and I sure can't seem to find where he's at and what exactly he's doing in the middle of this. Come on, I'm talking to a single mother today trying to walk in faith, but you're struggling just to get by and find God in the middle of this season. Talking to some people who are walking through some difficult circumstances and you're just in a hard season, whether it be because of the loss of a loved one, a job, or a marriage that is just hanging on by a thread today, and you got questions and you got doubts and you're looking up at God and you're saying, why? I haven't found you and I haven't seen you. You know, I was a part of a funeral this past Saturday for a guy who was a part of our college ministry 3 years ago. His name was Ryan Dupree. He was actually baptized at the Reservoir campus this past Easter Sunday by our campus pastor, Steve Parton. And it was a tragic 24-hour battle with COVID. Ryan passed away. He was an assistant basketball coach at a school in Georgia. That funeral was hard. And I can tell you that in the middle of that funeral, there was a lot of questions of why and why now. And God, where are you at in the middle of this? And look, hear me today. I'm not here to answer all of your questions of why, all of your doubts, all of your concerns. What I am here today to do is to present you to the person of Jesus Christ and point you to the character of our God, that he is good and that he is faithful and that he's saying, look, I'm here. How do I know that? Let's go back to his word. Look at verse 14. Look what the angel says to him. It says, the Lord turned to him and he says, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do I not send you? Okay, I want to stay right here, and this is going to be a little weird, but whether you're watching online with your family, maybe you're driving in the car, listening via podcast, on the count of three, I'm going to count to three. I just want you to say with me, do I not send you? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Do I not send you? This is a picture. I want you to underline this, highlight this if you have your Bible out. Circle this. Look, it's another promise. He's saying, hey, Gideon, Look, I get that you don't sense me or see me or find me or are finding me right now, but I'm with you and I go before you. So what do we learn from Gideon in the middle of the questions, in the middle of his doubts, in the middle of his concerns? What do? Well, we throw them at God. We journal them at God. We constantly parade him with them. Today, he wants you, he loves you, and he just doesn't want you to fight these things alone. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. So you're like, but Austin, when I come before him, sometimes I just don't feel like I get my answers. But can I tell you today, God is so much smarter than you and he's so much smarter than me. And he wants you to seek him because he knows that your presence is what you need today, not his answers. And he knows that his presence is what you're gonna need tomorrow, not his answers. Exodus 33, 14, it says, and he said, my presence will go with you. I'm gonna give you rest. Philippians 4, 19, Paul writing, he says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So come on, can you say yes? And can you throw those doubts, those concerns, and those questions at him today? And then can you say yes and not run from fear? And then thirdly, I think we need to learn how to lean on God's strength and forget your feelings of inadequacy. Let's go back to our guy, Gideon. Okay, I told you he's a relatable character. He doesn't stop. The Lord keeps speaking life and hope over him. He don't stop. Here comes the pushback. Here he comes again. We can almost just start saying, oh, Gideon, here goes Gideon again. Verse 15, Gideon said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? How can I do it? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. AKA, look, I'm moving past the sheer fear that I was living in and the doubts of where you've been. You've kind of come at that a little bit. But let's get real, God. I'm not your guy. I'm not your guy. I don't even think I'm ever going to be your guy. Like, I'm not your guy. My clan is the weakest. And not only is my clan the weakest and my village the weakest, I'm the last person you should pick from my family. The last person. And I want to pause right here because if you haven't related to Gideon yet, I hopefully am praying that this can bring us all together on this reality. This is the feeling of, God, I believe you and God, I trust you. I know you're with me, but God, I'm not the guy and I'm not the girl. You got the wrong person. You ever been there? You ever thought, God, you got the wrong person. I'm not smart enough, not talented enough. I'm like your last draft pick. And you got a whole lot of other people you should probably call who probably got you on speed dial. So go ahead and call them and go ahead and call me. Never. It's almost like we assume that God is the high school football coach who's making a wrong call. I know y'all were at a Friday night football game and you were yelling at the high school football coach because of all the wrong calls he was making. High school football coaches, we love you, we are for you, and we're proud of all the things you do. Sorry for all those crazy fans that yell at you. We're probably a lot of us or some of them. But this is what Gideon's doing. It's almost like he's saying, God, you're making a wrong call. You're making the wrong call. This is another excuse. And this time Gideon looks at his inadequacy and his worry that failure is inevitable with him leading the charge. God, I'm not your guy. And I want to speak life over you. Hopefully this isn't new information to you, but God doesn't make wrong calls. God doesn't make bad calls, and God ain't looking for perfect people. Don't focus on your feelings of inadequacy. Focus on his strength. Fixate your gaze on him today. Look at how the Lord responds. Verse 16, the Lord responds. The Lord said to him, I'm going to be with you. I will be with you. Again, he's promising his presence and that he goes with Gideon. I will be with you and you will strike the Midianites as one man. And I want to keep verse 16 up for a second because notice in verse 16, God doesn't build up Gideon. Okay, here's what I mean by that. Gideon is telling him his feelings of inadequacy, his feelings of failure, his feelings that he's not the guy, he's not smart enough, he's not talented enough. God doesn't receive that and start building up Gideon. He doesn't go, oh, Gideon, man, you are smart. You are talented. You are going to get the job done. No. God points Gideon to himself. God doesn't build up Gideon's self-confidence. God's trying to get Gideon to a place where he can rely on him and he can get what I would call God confidence. And here's why. God-sized assignments need a reliant you, not a confident you. God-sized assignments, when God is calling you to step into something, it needs a reliant you, not necessarily a confident you. And here's what I mean by that. You're like, Austin, I want to be confident. God wants to get you to a place where you are relying and you are trusting in him fully and completely, where you have God confidence. And can I tell you what happens when you have God confidence? As your trust and faith in him grows, the byproduct of that is self-confidence, because you know he's with you, he's guiding you, and he's going to lead you through it. We get this principle when Paul is writing to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. It says, but he said to me, and again, Paul receives this vision. And in this verse, this is the Lord speaking to him. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in my weakness. In other words, he's saying, hey, look, forget the inadequacy and the weaknesses we might have. And can we just learn to rest in his power? His grace will sustain us. His grace is sufficient. His grace is enough. And his grace will cover us. And listen, we won't unpack it today. Pastor Chip is going to lead us through this over the next few weeks. But God is going to ask Gideon to do some crazy things, y'all. I mean, some crazy things. Things that just don't make sense to anybody else around him. But Gideon's going to have to learn how to rely and trust and walk in faith, even when it feels like he's walking in blind faith. It's leaning on his strength and forgetting your feelings of inadequacy. And can I tell you, that's the good news of Jesus Christ today. Is that for some of you listening, you've been living in this cycle of trying to measure up, trying to do enough, trying to be enough, trying to have the correct amount of church attendance so that there can be a holy God who looks on you with the eyes of love and grace. And I'm telling you today to forget the feelings of I don't measure up and I won't ever measure up, and rest in the reality that God saw the brokenness and he saw the depravity and he sent his son who became your substitute and my substitute. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he who knew no sin became sin so that you and I could become the righteousness of God. So for some of you today, maybe that's your next yes, stepping into a saving faith relationship with Jesus Christ for the first time, because you're realizing it's me not doing it on my own, but me trusting in him and realizing only it's only through him and him alone that I can step into that. So lean on his strength, Pine Lake family. Please ignore the insecure lies that you don't have what it takes. Ignore the temptation to not say yes because you firmly believe there's somebody else out there, okay? Come on, I'm talking to some business leaders who God is calling to not compromise, not cut corners and lead differently, but it's contrary to the world and it could potentially put your job on the line. Come on, I'm talking to some middle school and some high school and some college students listening today. And God's calling you to leave a potential friend group or an unhealthy relationship that you might be walking in, and that's your next yes, but you don't know what it's going to look like, and you feel like you're going to be all alone if you say yes to that. Come on, I'm talking to the men of our church family, all the men in our church family whom God is calling to lead, I believe, at a higher capacity, whether it's at home as you lead your wife and your kids, whether it's at work, representing the kingdom and the setting and the business that God has called you to step into, or potentially at the local church where God is calling you to step up and serve and be the man that God has called you to be. Can we forget our reasons of not measuring up? Quit making excuses, man. No more excuses. He's with us. Hudson Taylor, I love what he says. It says, all God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they relied on his power and presence within them. His power and his presence within them. You know, I remember when I was 22 years old, I was believing that God was calling me into full-time ministry. This was kind of the first moment of that initial calling, and I was trying to say yes to what I believed God was calling me into, and so I stepped into pursuing seminary, and then I became a part-time student pastor at a real small church plant in a small town in Illinois. And I remember I thought, man, I'm going to rock these two things. I got this. So I stepped into a class called New Testament Theology. For those first 2 weeks, I felt as lost as a goose. I thought these guys were saying things. I said, man, I thought I knew the New Testament. I knew about Jesus. I knew about Paul. I thought I could tell you the New Testament. These guys are saying things I don't even fully understand. So I was confused, and I was like, well, maybe I missed this. But I thought, well, I'm going to rock the student ministry thing. I remember we had our first big night in our student ministry, and I was so prepared. This church never really had a student ministry. And I remember I thought, man, I'm going to have big faith, but not too big a faith. So I put out like 60, 70 chairs. I was like, that's going to be a good night. Had this whole message prepared. I'm like, it's going to be fire. We're going to preach fire on these kids. I remember that night there was 8 people and 4 of them were my cousins. And I was like, God, I really thought I missed God. I really did. I remember I was driving home that night from that student ministry event, and I was like debating everything that I thought God was calling me to step into. I had studied communications in college. It was sales and marketing. I was like, man, I'll go make money. I'll go do sales. I'll go do marketing. I'll go do something else, God, because I think I missed you and probably got the wrong guy. So I'll go figure something else out. I remember I was listening to a worship playlist, and I'm a Stephen Curtis Chapman fan. Don't judge me. Any of my 90 lovers, I'm a Stephen Curtis Chapman fan. There was a song that came on,
as I was driving, it was a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman entitled God is God. And the lyrics of that song just struck me, stopped me in my tracks. The lyrics just go like this. It says, "And the pain falls like a curtain, all the things I once called certain. And I have to say the words I fear the most, I just don't know." And that was where I was sitting. I was sitting in a season where I was saying, "Man, I just don't know." Then it got into the chorus, and the chorus just rocked my world. It says, "God is God, and I'm not. And I can only see a part of the picture that he's painting. God is God, and I'm man. And so I'll never understand it all, for only God is God." And as I was listening to that, it was almost like the Lord was using that to directly speak to me and say, "Austin, I'm with you. Lean in and look to me. Give me your yes." And so I said, "All right, God." I still felt like I was the wrong guy, but I said, "All right, I'm gonna walk in faith and I'm gonna trust you. Come on, today, can you forget the feelings of inadequacy and just say yes, because you're looking and relying on his strength and his power? Can you not run from fear? Can you just choose to say, hey, look, in my doubts and in my questions and in my concerns, I'm gonna give them to you?" And then lastly, here's what I think we get in this story and in this text and in this scene. I think it's a practical step for you today. Can you just choose to surrender? Can you choose to surrender? Can you wave the white flag? Can you wave the towel? Can you surrender and just say yes? Gideon debates, Gideon fights, he doubts, and then ultimately we see him in verse 24 in a posture of worship and almost a place of surrender. And God's gonna continue to push him to more levels of surrender. But I think immediately here we get this immediate, like Gideon's like, "All right, I sense that it's you and I'm with you." Verse 23 says, "The Lord said to him," he says, "Peace be to you. Do not fear, you shall not die." Look, there's another confirmation from the Lord, another promise that I'm with you and I'm walking with you. And then here's where we find Gideon in verse 24. It says, "Then Gideon, he built an altar there to the Lord, and he called it, 'The Lord is peace.' To this day, it still stands at Ophrah." Gideon gives the Lord, I want you to get this picture with me. It struck me as I was reading this, even this past week. Gideon gives the Lord the title, "The Lord is peace." You want to know, in the Old Testament, this is the first time we get those words about the Lord, Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. So you see, in the middle of Gideon's biggest assignment that God is calling him to step into, an incredible assignment that he does not feel qualified to step into, he finds himself in a posture and in a place where he can declare, "The Lord is peace." Why? Because he's found his presence and because he realized he's gonna be with me. And it ain't gonna make sense to a lot of people around me, but I know that he goes before me and he's gonna be walking with me and guiding me. He's no longer running. He is now postured in a position of trust and surrender. And he's saying, "All right, God, I'm yours. I know you're gonna be with me and I know you got me." I remember growing up, my family would take Christmas break vacation when we were living in Mississippi and Illinois, where my dad's family was from. And we would go spend the day at my grandmother's house, which was a tiny little house. And it was with all my cousins, all the grandkids, everybody running around. And then at nighttime, the adults would put all the kids to bed in one room. And then all the parents would hang out for a little bit. And then at a certain point in the evening, when the mom and dad wanted to go to bed, my mom would walk out into the wintry cold weather of Illinois, and she'd turn on the car and get the heat going. And then one by one, my dad would come and he would pick us up and he would take us to the car, and we would go to the hotel or the place where we were staying for the night. And I don't have a clear memory growing up of my dad immediately picking us up inside my grandmother's house. I just don't have a clear memory. But can I tell you, it's amazing. The Lord has gifted me with a very clear and distinct memory of the moment when I would wake up as a young boy from going inside the heated house to outside in the freezing cold, wintry weather of Chicago, Illinois. And I would just kind of come to as a young boy, and I'd wake up. And I have a clear memory of immediately when I would wake up, you know, it's like, "Where are you at? What's going on? You're freezing. You got a blanket, but where am I at?" And I would look up, and every single time I'd see my father's face, and he'd be smiling at me, and he'd just say, "Austin, it's all good. I got you. I'm right here. I got you." And it was like in that moment as a young boy, everything was good. I didn't know where I was. I just woke up from a heavy sleep, but everything was good because he's got me. And that's the picture for you today. I think this is what we get from our story, that it's like the Lord's telling Gideon, "Hey, look, bro, I'm here. Just please look at me. I got you, and I'm walking with you." If we can go back and look at our text, five different times In those 13 verses, the Lord promises his presence. In verse 12, it says, the Lord is with you. Verse 14, it says, do I not send you? Verse 16, he says, I will be with you. Verse 18, he says, look, man, I'm gonna stay till you return. Verse 23, he says, peace be to you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. He is with you today. His presence goes with you today. And he's saying the same thing. Don't run from fear. Give him your doubts and concerns. Rely on his strength and just surrender. So when the calling seems too big, and the assignment seems too much, giving God your yes isn't always easy, but it's always right. And can we just be a part of watching God change our state with unlikely people who are resting on the power of an extraordinary, extraordinary God? And so that's where I'd love to lead us today. And as, I don't know where you're watching from. I don't know if you're driving, if you're in the car. Maybe you need to stop for just a moment and you just need to start asking the question, God, what is my next yes? God, it might be something small, it might be something big, but I think there's always a next yes in our journey with the Lord, in our journey of surrender to him. Some of you, it might be something big and you've been holding off because of these things, because of fear, because of inadequacy. It could be salvation. It could be you getting baptized. It could be you taking future obedient steps in what he's calling you to step into. What's your next yes? And can you just rest in the power of our extraordinary God today? I'd love to pray for us. So just wherever you're at, can you just close your eyes? And can you just dialogue with God? In this story, we see Gideon in this dialogue with God. Can you just have a moment with him and just ask him, God, what's my next step? What's my next step? For some of you today, it might be salvation. It might be stepping into a saving faith relationship with Jesus Christ for the first time. He's been knocking for years and he's been speaking for years and you haven't said yes yet. And today you're realizing that the fear and the doubt and the concerns, you can give them to him in the middle of it. You just need to say yes. If that's you today, wherever you're at, you could pull out a phone and you could text Jesus to 57555. What's your next step today? And then for some of you just sitting here praying with us, is there somewhere in your life where what's keeping you from your yes is some of these emotions? Is it fear? Is it inadequacy? Is it doubt? What is that? Can you just give it to God? Say, God, I'm giving you the fear. God, I'm giving you the worry. I'm giving you the concerns. I'm just trusting you. I'm just trusting you. Come on, can you just give it to him right now? Can you rest in his power? Can you get the picture that he's holding you, that he's walking with you? Father, we love you, and God, we trust you. And God, I believe you're speaking to people in cars, on couches, all around our state, all around our country right now. God, as you're reminding them the power of your presence, the gift of that we have with your presence, God. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for that constant reminder, God, that you go before us and you go with us. God, I pray for people whom you're obediently calling them to take a next step of faith, but they've been hesitant. God, I pray you give them the boldness, the clarity, and the courage to fight and walk and step into the yes that you're calling them towards, God. Be with us, and may we be people who walk to and live to represent your kingdom, Jesus. We love you. It's in your name. Amen. Amen.